Good morning. Let's stand. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for the time that we get to come into this place and worship your name, God. I pray, Lord, just for an all-consuming fire to be felt in this place, God, that we would go after you today, Jesus. I thank you so much, God, that you're in the room already, that you are on the throne, God. Lord, that your name is power, your name is glory, God, that your name saves, that your name heals, God. And I just pray right now that every person, young, Lord, to old, Lord, will feel your presence, Lord, would be consumed by who you are, God. And we just thank you, Jesus, that you love us, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are moving mightily in this place and that we get the opportunity and the privilege to praise your name this morning. God, that we could be anywhere else, but we chose, Lord, to take our morning or a part of our morning and spend it with you, God. And I just pray, Lord, that we would, as we seek you, Lord, that we would find you, God. We thank you that you are faithful, Lord, to find us, Lord, when we come and seek you, Jesus. And so we praise your name. We thank you, God, for all the glory. We thank you, Jesus, that this isn't just another Sunday. We thank you, Jesus, that you're already healing bodies. You're already healing minds. You're already healing relationships. And we thank you, Jesus, that we can have fun in your presence. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Come on, let's worship.
Faithful, praise God. you rose and defeated the grave. Praise God, you're faithful. Praise God, you're true. Praise God, there's nobody greater than you. Oh, praise God, you're sovereign. Praise God, you reign. Praise God, you rose and defeated the grave. Oh, praise God, you're faithful. Praise God, you're true. Praise God, there's nobody greater than you.
Of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who understands everything you're going through. But you keep standing at a in the shadows of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come take your place? Bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. All your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your heart. The cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. So bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your trials, all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. Bring it all. Bring it all. Bring it all.
Sing this song that says we want to hear him in the mundane things. So what's more mundane than dishes? And this week I'm standing there and I'm doing dishes and I'm just kind of meditating, you know, talking to the Lord, you know, about the mistakes I've made this week, the times I didn't probably love correctly because I was a little pissed off, you know what I mean? And then the Lord just dropped like a water drop on my soul. And he said, you know what? There's something that your enemy knows better than you. Sinners and saints alike don't know this because the enemy knows it better than you. And I'm like, what is that? And he's like, I love you. I love you beyond anything. And the enemy knows this, and this is why he attacks you. And this is why he torments you. This is why he tells you you're not good enough. And you want to know the ways that God loves us? Let me count them. He loves us with affection. He loves us with such adoration and affection. And he will hug us till our hearts are healed. He loves us in authority. He loves us with the authority that comes with his kingship. That nothing can destroy us because we are his, and it's under his authority that we are loved. He loves us when we're weak. He loves us when we're small. He loves us when we're standing in the greatest of joy of life. But he loves us. And we forget that. And we keep turning away from that and not going to the table and grabbing it. You know what? It's there for us. If we just continue. Pastor Mike tells us that all the time. Hug yourself and say, my Jesus loves me. You know what? Because he does. And the enemy does not want you to realize that. From the moment you wake up till the moment you lay your head, even when you're sleeping, he loves you. When you're in sin or when you're following him to the T, he loves you. It's up to us to receive that. And so that part about coming to the table, the second verse, can we start back at that?
Sorrow and
your sadness. There's a Savior and He calls. Bring it all to the table.
Thank you.
talk about you like you're not in the room. I wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you. I don't wanna talk about you like you're not in the room. I wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you. I don't wanna talk about you. Until you and I are one.
for what you've been doing today. And I just declare right now that you would just begin opening each and every one of our hearts up to just be vulnerable with you and to just be able to receive what you have for us today, God. I just thank you that we all get to gather here together. And I just pray that you would just install something into each and every one of our minds that we can take home and carry throughout the week and spread to others, God. Just pray that you would continue to give us opportunities to bring everything to the table. Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are and the amazing things that you have planned for each and every one of us in this room today. So we just pray that that would all start now at this service at One Life Family Worship. So we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hug each other. We'll meet back in a bit.
We have a, it's not really a tradition, but it's more like a purpose that the Lord has put on our hearts, and that's to make declarations on Sunday. Some Sundays we make declarations over the city and over the valley. Today we're going to make a declaration over the heart of the house. So if you would stand with me, we're going to say this in cadence on three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, that you have called this house, Lord, for a specific purpose. Lord, and I know that at times it seems different than other times, Lord, but we open our hearts to you today, Lord, to reach each and every one of us with the divine purpose and plan, God, you have for this house. Lord, whether that's to reach our neighbors, reach our coworkers, Lord, reach our family or our friends, God, reach people that we're in sports with, Lord, or at our schools, God, we release right now, Lord, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, so that we can help reach Yakima one heart at a time, one soul at a time, Lord, and ultimately one life at a time. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. We thank you, Lord, for what you've brought us through all these years, Lord. We thank you, God, for the miracles, God, that we have seen and the provision that you've brought, Lord. But we continue to believe, Lord, that we're here for such a time as this, Lord, to reach, God, Yakima Valley, Lord, to reach this city, God, for the kingdom of God and the purposes and plans of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have a couple announcements. Yard sales. Do you guys want to talk about your yard sale? Okay. Because you're excited about it. I know that.
All right, guys. So our yard sale is helping sponsor a couple youth for our youth camp that's coming up here in August. The yard sale will be the 20th. I will be posting in the text stream a schedule so that you guys can kind of have an idea of what the needs are, like where we need help. My biggest need is going to be towards the end. We're going to go from, I'm going to be here at 6 in the morning, if not 5:30, to just get things set up so that we can be running by like 6:30. And then hopefully closing by between 2:30 and 3. Okay, so I need somebody on the closing team is my biggest need right now. And that would be from probably about 3 to 4, 4:30, just to kind of get things, whatever doesn't get sold, kind of gets taken care of. So if you have a truck, that would be amazing. Also, I'm taking donations till this Wednesday. So if you know of anybody who's trying to get rid of stuff and they would like to donate it to our yard sale and our cause, please have them get a hold of me. I would love to take those things off their hands and get them sold. Amen? Awesome. Any questions? Clear as mud? Awesome. So donate. And come celebrate.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I want to thank everyone for giving to this house, for being tithers and giving offerings. And all of it is appreciated and helps to expand the kingdom of God. And we just ask that you would just continue to pray and ask the Lord how you're to participate with your giving. And right now I've got a message that is... a little different. This week, we were reading through Psalms for basically like our daily Bible reading. Who's joining me with Psalms? Is there folks that, yeah, there's a few still. Okay, praise the Lord. So we came to Psalm 85, and I've been saved since basically about 19, I'm going to date myself, but 1979. Yeah, well, I know you weren't born or anything like that, right? When did you get born, Eric? 85, so it's pretty close. Yeah, we're pretty close. Okay, anyway, me getting saved, him getting born, I mean, it's close. But what ended up happening, I was reading this psalm that I had read, you know, I don't know how many times I've read the Bible, and much less through the psalms and particular psalms, but I read this psalm, and it was like poetry to my heart. Now, I've always heard that psalms is poetry, but this was like something else, and I'm just like, Lord, why haven't I ever seen this before? What's going on? What's this all about? So I actually showed it to a pastor friend of mine and another individual who's an evangelist, and they're like, oh man, this sounds like Tolkien. This is beautiful. And it is beautiful. And I'm just like going, okay, I'm supposed to share on this. And I have no idea how to share on this. I don't know why I'm sharing on this, because I've never really done anything like this. And so I think what we'll do is we'll read through the psalm the first time. And then I'll share like the revelation that started coming to me yesterday. So we're going to read through Psalm 85, verses 8 through 13. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, God. Lord, that your word has been given to us, Lord, so that we could become more like you. Lord, so that it could change our hearts, Lord, from being bent in the ways of the world, Lord, and being turned towards you. So, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that what you want to accomplish with your word today in our hearts and in our lives would take place. Lord, that we would not in any way push your word back or reject any of your word, Lord, but we'd be able to receive it as good soil today, Lord, that it would produce fruit in our lives, Lord. Some of us would be 30, some of us would be 60, and even some 100-fold. Lord, I pray that what you have designed for your word today for this house, Lord, would accomplish what it's sent to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, it was about, I'm not sure what time it was yesterday afternoon, and all of a sudden, my phone pops up, this message, and I'm like, what? And I look at it, and I say, okay, I've got to see what's going on. And so I went to YouTube, and I went to one of the channels, and it was saying that a presidential candidate had just been an assassination attempt on his life. And I'm sure you all know who that is. President Trump was shot at, and by the grace of God, he turned his head just at a certain time, and the bullet went through his ear. Now, I don't know how many have heard all the details. And so, you know, I'm looking, and I'm just like, whoa, what's happening? What's going on, you know? Because, I mean, it hasn't been since Reagan that a president had been shot, and then before that, it was President Kennedy. So it's not like something that happens every day. And I know some of you may say, well, he's not the president right now, but he has been, and he's been in that office, and he's running for that office again. Now, I want to, first of all, say this. Had it been Joe Biden, I would still feel the weight that I feel right now. I just want to let you know that. This is not a political thing that I'm talking about here. And so as the day went on and you know, the tumultuous environment, I don't know if any of you are on what's called X, used to be Twitter, there was all kinds of stuff that was being posted. Some was you know, just giving news. Others were saying, like, you know, well, you know, this guy had one job and he missed. I mean, it's almost like they were like saying, like, this should have happened. And then others were talking about, you know, getting ready to get their guns and fight. And I'm just like going, what is going on here, you know? And obviously we know that we live in a fallen world. We live in a space that right now has great divides between right and left and in the middle. And it seems to be like you could go into certain situations, and if you say the wrong thing, you could get injured. It's happened to people. So as I was going through this, and I was getting ready to start you know, working, because I'd gotten the verse the beginning of the middle of the week, and then I, you know, usually kind of let it ponder in my heart. As I started studying this, I realized, oh my gosh, you gave this to me for today and because of what happened yesterday. Because I'd never had any other verse talk to me like this one was. I'm like, you know, I'm usually catching, like, you know, a thought of how we can be more like Jesus and all of that. But I really believe that the Lord wants me to communicate today how we are so necessary to heal this land. That we carry what we're reading about there. It's not just something that God has in heaven for, you know, for mankind, but it's something that he's deposited in each of us, that we all have a responsibility of being peace givers and releasing the love of God to this world. So I'm going to go ahead and read this now in the Bible in Basic English. Verse 8, I will give ear to the voice of the Lord. For he will say words of peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not go back to their foolish ways. So this is a key right here. We have been given the truth. We have been given not just the truth, but we've been given reality. What is real? You know, because a lot of times we see things and we don't know what's real today. We don't know, you know, there were some people that were saying that it was even like fake at first. So we live in a world that truth seems to be vacant. But I'm telling you that if we stick to the truth, it will keep us from falling into foolish ways. It'll keep us from falling into patterns that where we duplicate what the world's doing instead of being purveyors and communicators of the character and nature of Christ. Truly, his salvation is near to his worshipers, so that glory may be in our land. Glory may be in our land. His salvation is near to us. And how near is it? Well, it's in us. It lives in us. It abides in us. It resides in us. It's transforming us. It's changing us from glory to glory. This salvation resides in us, takes residency in us. Why? So that glory may be in our land. It's not just so that we can, you know, live happy, carefree Christian lives, where just all our needs are met. No, it's so that glory of God can cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. And I mean, some of you may say, well, how can just I change and release the glory of God in the land? Well, the land may be just starting in your home. The land may be just in your workplace at first. The land may be in your school. The land may be in your family, your greater family. The land may be in the land. God may call you to something supernatural beyond any abilities, any power you have in yourself, because he is the one who calls us and he's the one who equips us. He's the one who gives us the power to release his salvation on this earth. So his salvation is near to each and every one of us. We're his worshipers, so that glory may be in our land. Mercy and faith have come together. Righteousness and peace have given one another a kiss. I love that. This, and I'm telling you, there's no other verse in the Bible that communicates like this. I've looked high and low trying to find it. There's nothing else in the Bible that communicates this thought. I mean, we have the idea of God himself, but I'm saying there's really nothing that talks about righteousness and peace kissing. There's nothing like that. And so this is a special verse. And you know who wrote this? If you guys are any Bible scholars, this was the sons of Korah that wrote this. Most people see a psalm and they think it's David. Some psalms were written by David. Most of them were his. But some were from others. The sons of Korah. Do you know who Korah was? Korah was the one who came against Moses. He was one of the Levites, and he was probably in the lineage of Levi, and had probably some appointment to either carry the ark or to set up the tent or something like that. And it wasn't good enough for him. It wasn't good enough for a couple of his friends. And they said, "Why do you get to lead us, Moses?" And so there was a rebellion, and Korah and a group of his family and some of his cohorts that were involved in this, the earth opened up and swallowed them alive. Now, I'm telling you, if you want to read some of the most powerful Psalms, it's by the sons of Korah. They realized the glory of God. They realized the power of God, and they realized the love of God. They didn't continue just to shake their fist at him. Mercy and faith that come together. Righteousness and peace have given one another a kiss. Faith comes up from the earth like a plant. Righteousness is looking down from heaven. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will give its increase. Righteousness will go before him, making a way for his footsteps. Here's the NET version. I will listen to what God the Lord says, for he will make peace with his people, his faithful followers, yet they must not return to their foolish ways. It's three different ways we've heard that today. They must not return to their foolish ways. Certainly, his loyal followers will soon experience his deliverance. Then his splendor will again appear in our land. Loyal love and faithfulness meet. Deliverance and peace greet each other with a kiss. Faithfulness grows up from the ground, and deliverance looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will bestow his good blessings, and our land will yield its crops. Deliverance goes before him and prepares a pathway for him. You know, we make these declarations. We're declaring over Yakima. And, you know, it's easy sometimes to just get in a routine. You know, we're human. And you know, it's like you've got like a busy morning. Oh, they're doing the declarations. You kind of say it, you know, and you just, okay. And then someone prays, amen. But there's other times that, you know, your heart starts connecting with what's being said. And you start hearing what you're saying, and you realize that God really does have a heart for Yakima. God really does have a desire to see individuals who don't know him come to his light, come to his truth, have their hearts illuminated, and receive his grace. His grace that is supernatural. His grace is not just a word. His grace is an impartation to our lives. And it's an impartation that he wants to pour out on, I believe, our whole city. But we play a part in that. Just as it said, if we don't return to our foolish ways, you know what? He wants to heal our land. He wants to let his glory fill our land. It says here in verse 9, surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Now I know some would say, well, Pastor Mike, this was really for the Israelites back then, or the Jews when they were living in Jerusalem or wherever they were at that time. And it was really for them. How many know that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword? And it's able to divide between soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's alive. And so when I read that the other day, and all of a sudden it was coming alive in me, it was starting to speak to my heart. And again, I just thought, oh, I just want to read this to the congregation because it's just beautiful, and just hear what's being said. And what continued to be imparted to me through these scriptures is that this is all available to us. But it's not saying that these things were coming, you know, from you know, his workers or from his king or anything. It was what God was doing. And it's what God is doing in each and every one of us. But his salvation is near to those who fear him. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to give him a divine reverence, realizing that he is our maker.
He is the creator of us, that we didn't create ourselves. And that because of his gift of salvation to us, we now have eternal life. And through that understanding, we start to give him respect and honor, not in a fearful way that, you know, I'm afraid he's going to squish me like a bug, but in a way that honors his majesty, in a way that honors his glory, in a way that we submit our lives in that reverent fear. Amen. When we do that, when we have that kind of heart, glory fills the land.
Yes.
Why does it fill the land? Because as we draw closer to him, what's it say he does? Draws closer to us. Now, he lives in us, so what does that mean? It means he comes, we're allowing him to become more alive in us. It's not that he's up there and we got to try to, you know, coax him to come down. No, it's that we come to the revelation, the understanding, the renewed mind that he lives in us, that he has residency in us, and that if we allow him, he'll come alive through us so that others will be touched with his glory. And it's not in any kind of way that we're prideful or arrogant. We're to be humble servants, but he chooses to fill us with his glory. And when we carry that glory, we carry that glory in our land. And our land can be transformed. And even what happened yesterday, and all the agitation that started taking place in the land, if God's people would rise up and start allowing that glory to fill them, starting to realize that his salvation lives in them, and I'm included in all of this, and his glory starts to live in us, our land can be healed. And, you know, I pray at times for our country. It's hard sometimes to pray for the Congress and the Senate. You see all the negative stuff with our eyes. We hear all the negative stuff with our ears. You know, but it says that in Isaiah 11 that Jesus, he delighted in the fear of the Lord. Now, this is Jesus himself delighting in the fear of the Lord. That fear that is reverencing his Father. And as he did that, it said that he didn't judge with what he saw with his eyes or what he heard with his ears. That's how we're to be. And so if you're hearing news and you're letting it affect your heart, you ask God, Lord, don't let this affect me. Let my heart remain pure. Let me be able to believe the best, even though I see the worst. Even though I hear the worst, let me believe the best. You know, because love believes the best. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love believes the best. Love does not account other people's wrongs. Love believes the best in a situation. So what does this mean? This means instead of looking and scheming and saying why all the things went wrong yesterday and who forgot to do this or what was the inside job, all the things that you hear, we say, no, love believes the best. What the enemy has intended for evil in this situation, God can choose to intend it for good. Amen. That's believing the best. It says this in Psalm 147:11. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. We were talking about his love not relenting. We were talking about coming to the table and receiving what he has for us. And you know what? You have to fear him to do that.
That's right.
You have to have a godly fear to approach him. Isn't that something? You would think, oh, no, I don't approach him in fear. No, if you're approaching God, you're doing it in a humble heart. You're doing it in a reverence. If you're really going to receive something, you're saying, God, you are the source of everything. You're the source of my life, and you're the source of everything we need in these United States. So we come to you in fear, realizing that you've got the answers to all of this chaos. And those who hope in a steadfast love. Verse 10 says this, steadfast love and faithfulness meet. What is steadfast love? It's love that doesn't change. It's love that doesn't shift. Another word sometimes it's translated is mercy. Mercy is when you extend love when someone doesn't deserve it. Mercy is when you extend compassion when someone doesn't deserve it. And God's steadfast love and faithfulness meet. You know, when we maintain a steadfast love, a love, a compassion, a true agape love for this world, and then we're faithfulness in it, that's when things start to happen. It's not when you do it one time. It's not when you say, well, today I'm going to try to love people. Then tomorrow you go back, I gave them a day. No, steadfast love doesn't quit. Steadfast love continues to believe the best. Steadfast love is a love that is rooted and grounded in Christ. And so you're not the source of the love. He's the source. He is the source of the love that you then extend to others. And when you're faithful in that, that's when we start to see the change. Then it says, righteousness and peace kiss each other. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing before God. And you know what? When we can stand right before God and we don't have any shame, we don't have any condemnation, we don't have any guilt of what we're doing because we've surrendered our hearts and our lives to Him, peace abides in our hearts. Peace abides in our hearts. It kisses us. It's like the righteousness that He gives us that we choose to live in causes peace to kiss. Isn't that beautiful? Next to this, we see this description of the Lord. So Moses cut two tablets of stone like the first, and he rose early in the morning and went up on Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him and took in his hand two tablets of stone. This is the second set. The Lord descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And this is the day after that a lot of craziness, chaos went down. Because the people were choosing to not follow in the fear of the Lord. But he's reminding Moses the next day, no, Moses, I'm merciful. I'm gracious. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So what does that have to do with us? I believe that today, because that same God that Moses was communicating with lives in us. So we should be able to say, we're merciful, we're gracious, we're slow to anger, we're abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. You have to do it by faith. It's not going to be that all of a sudden you act like this. No. And you say, oh, good, it's like I finally changed. No, you believe the word of God that says you are made in the image of God now because of Christ changing you. It says that the old things, what are the old things? Junk have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But how does it happen? By faith. How do we love this chaotic world? By faith. How do we share the love of God to people that are unlovely? By faith. How do we feed both spiritually and naturally this world? By faith. By faith that God has imparted into us. It's not a faith we have to conjure up. It's a faith that we can receive by His word, by His promises. But we have to focus on Him. Amen. Isaiah says this in 32:15-17. Until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is deemed a forest, then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness abide in the fruitful field, and the effect of righteousness will be peace. Boy, isn't that what I said? When we're standing in His righteousness, clothed in his full covering of being cleansed and pure before God, and we're not doing things in our life to cause us to question that relationship, there's peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness, and trust forever. Lord, let this take place in our hearts, please. Then Psalms 85:11, faithfulness springs up from the ground and righteousness looks down from the sky. So we have steadfast love and faithfulness meeting. We have righteousness and peace kissing. And faithfulness is springing up from the ground. It sure sounds like God has what they needed back then. And I believe has what we need right now. That it does not matter what it looks like around us, does not matter what is on the news, does not matter what we've experienced in our own lives, there's an ability to have his faithfulness spring up in us, to have his righteousness that it says comes down from the sky. It lives in us because Jesus lives in us. Isaiah 11:5 says, righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. They're connected. Psalm 85:12 says this, yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. So glory is going to cover the land. And can you think if glory is covering the land, that chaos is covering the land at the same time? Can glory and chaos abide together? I think where God's glory is, chaos is extinguished, or at least silenced, or quieted. Where his glory abode in the temple, it caused the priests to fall down on their faces. They couldn't even minister. It was so powerful. So you think sin's going to have any power over his glory? He's going to give us what is good. It says all good and perfect gifts come from the Father of lights. And our land will yield its increase. Now this is where I have to share and be a little bit transparent. I have had kind of a fatalist attitude for the United States because of what I continue to see. And I just kind of say, well, it's, you know, what's going to be is going to be, because it looks like this train's already left the station and it's on the way to destruction. And yeah, I pray, Lord, bless the Congress, bless the president and his cabinet, bless the departments, you know, like the Bible says, you know, sometimes do it begrudgingly, you know, but I'm trying to be obedient, but not confident that God can bless them. Not confident that he can transform our government again. Not confident that he can turn the heart of the king, our president, wherever it wants to go. And so have I been praying for them really in faith, or have I just been mouthing words? Have I believed that he can let his glory cover the United States like the waters cover the sea? Now, there's a lot of Christians rising up these days, but they're holding signs. They're wearing hats. They're yelling at others. And it's not a good look. It's not a good look at all. It's not, I can't see Jesus doing that. I just don't see my Lord doing that. I see him trying to communicate to both sides and let them know that love is the answer. Love is the answer to the problem, folks. And I believe that we carry that steadfast love. But we have to believe that God can transform our land. Like I said, start with a little small area. How about your own life? Lord, can you transform and change this land? I haven't been living the way that you want me to live. I know that you have desires and plans for me, and my life has not been aligning with those lately. Can you transform my land? Can you start here with me and then help me maybe transform my workplace or transform my school or transform parts of my family? Can you start with me? That's where it starts. If we want to see him heal our land, it needs to start with this land. Needs to start right here with this vessel. And so, Lord, I ask and I proclaim, Lord, that I have not believed the best for this nation. And I just repent from that right now and ask you to change my heart and change my life. And help me, Lord, align with your character and nature, Lord, as it comes to believing for this nation, believing for the lives, Lord. Because this nation isn't just a piece of property, Lord. It's hearts and lives and souls, Lord, that you died for. Help me, Lord, to participate in the dominion of government of the kingdom of God to help transform and change this land to what you want it to be. And we'll leave the results up to you, Lord, but help us, Lord, to believe the very best. Help us to believe the best for the United States, as love asks us to do. Help us not to keep accounting all the wrongs that we've done, but help us, Lord, to believe the truth, Lord, because there is truth still in this nation. In Isaiah 32:15, I read it previously, but now I want to focus on this part. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. You know what? Folks, we all have the Holy Spirit. If you receive Jesus Christ, it says that we have received the Spirit of Christ. So we have that Spirit poured upon us. So it's been poured upon us from high. So I believe this wilderness that we're seeing, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field. Even if it's just souls coming to Christ in these, maybe we don't know all the things with our nation, but what if it's just souls coming to Christ? People coming out of darkness like you did into his marvelous light and experiencing that joy of the salvation that God brings us. And then the fruitful field is deemed as a forest. In other words, it is so full of fruit that it looks like a forest. Wow. To me, that sounds like harvest. To me, that sounds like a time of harvest. And then again, justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness abide in the fruitful field. And the effect of righteousness will be peace and the result of righteousness quieted and trust forever. And I'm going to leave you with this. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Well, there's been a lot of that in the Christian church, where we think we've got it all figured out. We think we know exactly the way that God looks at the entire world. It's black and it's white. Yes, there is sin and there's unrighteousness. And we all see the outside behaviors of people and we say sin and we say righteousness. But God's looking at their heart. God's not looking at their outer appearance. God knows the traps the enemy has set for people. God knew the traps that were set for you, and he delivered you. Aren't you glad that you were never written off? Oh, yeah. That's beyond anything God could do there. When you know as well as I do, he had been doing things inside of you. Maybe it wasn't on the outside yet. Maybe people couldn't see it. Maybe it wasn't something that people said, oh, wow, God's really working their life. But he was working in you. Yeah. He was preparing you. He was planting seeds. He was pulling some weeds. He had been getting you ready to receive the engrafted word of God to where you said, yes, I receive this grace and this salvation so freely given to me. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. See again there? There's this attitude in the church that we have like this market on all the truth or all the revelation. And it's like, it's my revelation, and I'm gonna sell this book to you and you'll get the revelation. It's like, no, we're not to boast in that. If we've been given anything, it's been freely given to us by God. Right. Freely we receive, let's freely give. Yeah. Let's not boast in our riches, but let him who boasts boast in this. So there is a boasting that we're to do, and this is it, that he understands and knows me. If there's anything to boast about, boast that you're getting to know your Father. You're getting to know your Savior. You're getting to know the Holy Spirit. You're having the mind of Christ imparted to you. That's something to boast about. And you know what? You really can't boast much about it because it's him doing it in you. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. What does he delight in? He delights in us understanding and knowing him. He delights in us realizing that he is love, realizing that he is righteousness and justice and peace and goodness and kindness and meekness and faithfulness and self-control and patience and joy and peace and love. What's that called? That's called the fruit of the Spirit. And that's who he is. And you know what? He chose to let love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control abide in us. Because we have the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. So as I was finishing this up, I started singing this song that I had heard a couple months ago. And I thought, oh, wow, this is what we need to finish this message with, is this song. And you probably can't get all the words. You can find this on YouTube. But the main thought and the heart of this, I want us all to just think about and dwell on. Could you get the lights, too? I think it would help with this. It's kind of a dim video. And just allow the Lord to impart a confidence in you that he can do above and beyond even all you ask or think. That he is saying to this nation, I believe, at least to us today, let's be ones who believe that we can help heal our land because of what he's put in us. Because we've come to the table. We've received his goodness. We've received of his blood. We've received of his life. And he's given us something to give to others, and that's his very self.
Tears are to fall as I cry out for you, Lord. Can't take it. Thank you.
we call on your name,
you always answer us.
We call on the name of Jesus,
you always answer us.
You will always answer us.
You'll always. He'll always answer us. But do we believe that? I think we would call on his name much more if we really believed that. We truly believe that he could heal our land if we believed that he was going to always answer us. And you know what? It can day be a new day today for you. Your heart can be changed where you believe God to transform the land around you, starting with you. Lord, you can heal this land. And then, Lord, because you've healed this land, you can heal our land. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. Thank you, Lord, that we can put our hope in you. Thank you, Lord, that you can change us. No matter how we've been up to this point, Lord, you can change us. Lord, let your perfect work continue in each and every one of us. Let this word that you've prepared for us today and communicated by your Spirit go deep into each and every one of us and help us produce fruit, God, fruit that remains, some 30, some 60, and some hundredfold. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all. Love you. Let him heal your land.